It is nice to be with you this morning on home territory, although I do feel as if I'm a bit of a visitor and haven't seen much of you last year, and I'm not sure if it's going to be any better this year, so there we go. But you did send me out, and you did give me the interest in SGA, so you've only got yourselves to blame. I'm having a great time, so thank you. How many of you had a tough year last year? You can put your hand up and give me a wave if you like. Yeah, quite a few of you had a tough year. What about this year? If you're really honest in your heart, you can give me a wave and say, yeah, man, this year is going to be pretty tough as well. Well, it is tough, isn't it? Life can be so difficult and uncertain. And when we reflect back of the things that many of you have gone through last year, some of you might even be dreading this year, thinking, I just don't know what's going to happen. Well, we're in good company, because people in Bible times didn't know what was ahead of them either. And they were experiencing pretty similar things to what we experience too. In fact, the only difference is technology. They didn't have Facebook and they didn't have the internet. Well, they had the Roman world and the Roman roads and the network of Roman roads, which meant information could get from one end to the other very, very quickly. So that was their internet of the day. But how did the churches in the first century, when the gospel was first going around, cope? Well, there's a famous few verses in Ephesians 6. So perhaps you'd like to turn to Ephesians 6 and chapter 10 onwards. It's interesting, this passage comes to a church at Ephesus, which has been going through a hard time. And it's interesting how Paul ends his letter. And again, it's a famous passage. But in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Well, we can't have a better piece of advice as we go into this year. We're already sort of, how many days into this year? 8 days. I was going to say 8 years into this. That's what it feels like sometimes, isn't it? 8 days into this year. Well, a great piece of advice for us. Not to be strong in how we think we're going to work things out this year, but to be strong in the might of God. You know, when we see so many problems in the world, and yet we've only got to look at a coin. And what's the date on the coin? It reminds us actually that our whole world system is still based on the birth of Christ and hasn't got away with that. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armour of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you are able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. And pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me and the opening of my mouth, so I may make known the boldness of the mysteries of the gospel. And Paul continues with his letter there. There's a sense of urgency about this passage. In my younger days, when I was involved with ship design and things like that, the things that used to fascinate me was not cruise ships and the design of cruise ships and the stabilizers to keep the passengers feeling nice and comfortable in a storm and things like that, or all the sanitation complexes of a modern cruise ship, of how to recycle the water so people don't realize they're actually drinking water that they've used in other areas, but we won't go into that. What fascinated me was the battleships. And the battleships were always fantastic, always ready on the state of alert. And what the gospel shows us in this particular passage, actually, we're not called to be crew members on a cruise ship. We were just looking at the view. We're on a state of readiness and alert all the time. To be honest, I don't like the sound of that. I've been pretty close to some war zones in some of the places I've been, and you know, there's a sense of nervousness, there's a sense of twitchiness. I visited one country once and all the shops shut, in this little village, and people close their houses and their doors and things. And my translator said, "It's because you're here." And I said to him, "Well, I don't usually have that effect when I'm back home." And he said, "Well, people don't know who you are, and they're fearful. There is a war going on in this country. And so there's a sense of unease and unsteadiness, and we're not called to be having a nice time in this world. It's going to be difficult because the gospel is offensive. It's going to make people feel uncomfortable. Gospel tells us that people are sinners and that they need God. It tells them things they don't want to hear. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And so how does Paul, when he's talking to the church at Ephesus, give them some support in this? Well, the thing that I've been interested in this passage as I've been meditating on it is three times Paul says, stand firm, hold your ground. We know the passage and the bits about the armour, well, we're familiar with those bits, but what I want us to think about this morning is this whole sense of standing firm this year in the things of God and not slip sliding. I was in the northern part of Romania just before Christmas. We could see the snow was quite deep, and we could see wolf prints and bear prints in the snow. It was absolutely brilliant. I do go working. I don't go sightseeing all the time, but one afternoon they took me up into the hills and we could see all these bear prints. And you know what? I couldn't stand up for the life of me. It wasn't just the snow, it was the gravel, it was the mud, it was the muck. And I thought, I need better footwear than this. And so what does Paul say? He says, verse 14, stand firm therefore, having shod your loins with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what does that look like? Well, we'll look at that in a moment. But this, what I want us to think about is this whole sense of standing firm, because this sense of standing firm doesn't begin in Ephesians. It actually begins further back than that, in Joshua 23 and verse 6. So we've got to go back to the Old Testament now. Moses says this to Joshua, be very firm to keep and do all that is written in God's word, so that you won't turn to the left or to the right. In other words, before we're even standing firm on the day of conflict, we've got to learn to stand firm in God's word. And as Joshua goes into the promised land, one of the first things he's told is to stand firm on God's word. Psalm 40 verse 2, he says this, he took me out of the miry clay and set my feet on rock, making my footsteps firm. The only person who can help us through the obstacle course of what this year will be, because every year is an obstacle course, isn't it? Yep. Hello? Yep. You know, I remember as a kid having some brand new wellies, and the first thing I did was go and test them out. The second thing that I did was leave them behind. Accidentally, because they got stuck in the miry clay and the mud, and my father had to go wading in the mud to go and rescue my boots. See, funny, he wasn't too concerned about me at the time. It's the fact that it's boots. Anyway, we're going to get stuck in circumstances and situations that we didn't intend to find ourselves in this year. Sometimes through our own fault, and other times it's just the way that life unravels itself. He took me out of the miry clay and set my feet on rock, making my footsteps firm. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 37, Paul says this, keep firm in your heart in all your decisions of life. 1 Corinthians 16, he says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all you be done in love. So stand firm in Christ and his love. In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says this, we do not lord it over you, but we are workers with you for your joy, for your faith, for you are standing firm. In Galatians 5, Paul says this, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject to a yoke of slavery. In Philippians 1, verse 27, Paul says this, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind together in the faith of the gospel. And if we had time, we could go through so many, many passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament that encourage us to stand firm. Until we get to the book of Ephesians, and Paul talks about standing firm, and the context of that is to stand firm in the day of conflict. When you look at different military armies around the world, the ones that don't stand firm on the day of conflict are those who have not had much training. Have you noticed that? It was interesting, they were having different documentaries on the telly over the Christmas period on the Falklands conflict. And I was explaining to my daughter about the Falklands conflict, and she just hadn't heard of that in history. And she wanted to know, why was it the Argentinians gave up so easily? Was it because they were chicken? I said, no, many of them weren't chicken. They just weren't as well trained as what our British soldiers were. They weren't as experienced as our British soldiers were. You know, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesians, he's writing to Christians who are experienced in their walk with Jesus. They're experienced in the Word of God. You know, we won't stand firm on the day of conflict if we're not walking with Jesus in the easier times. And so Paul talks about standing firm in Ephesians on that day of conflict. And it's a military command. I like watching the old war movies. I don't like the new ones where the blood really does look like blood. I like the ones where it looks like raspberry jam and you can almost see the pips in their faces when they get shot and stuff like that. And you know, when they've been hit, like the old westerns with John Wayne, when he hits them in the face and you can tell it's somebody slapping behind him or something like that. And you can see the person who's been hit and they've got what looks like blood on the side of their mouth, and you can see that they're just longing to lick it off because it's actually jam or something like that. I mean, they're like the sugar on a donut. But Paul is encouraging them to stand firm here. And what I like about the war movies is this. Sometimes there'll be a bridge and there's just a handful of soldiers and the radio signal comes across. You must hold that bridge no matter what it costs. One of the movies that I've seen, which is quite gruesome, is Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's quite a graphic kind of film. But they're told to hold that post, aren't they? And they give their lives for it in the end. And as Paul writes to the church of Ephesians here, on the day of conflict, this is a military command. He's using terms that include military equipment, but he's saying, whatever happens, hold your ground, stand firm. And he gives that command three times. And so I'm reminded again of verse 3 when he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what does that look like? It sounds quite nice, doesn't it? So I brought some footwear with me, and I hasten to add, the first piece of footwear is not my own. Okay, I'll say that again. This is not my footwear. Right. Having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, does that mean we find the best kind of lightweight, these are a bit worn actually, I used to have a worn word with my daughter, Nike footwear or things like that? It's interesting, the guy who started Nike footwear was a Christian, Bill Bowerman, training Olympic athletes. And he named his footwear Nike after Paul's use of the term victorious in Christ, because Nike is the New Testament Greek word for victorious. Isn't that interesting? So a little bit of a strange bit of information for you there. So we are victorious in Christ. And Bill Bowerman used to pray for his athletes each morning. Each morning they would have Bible study. And he often used to point them to this passage about having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why? Because he knew the athletes needed good footwear, and that's what he designed. But Paul knows that the military people need good footwear. If I'm a soldier going across the places where I go in Eastern Europe and Central Asia, if I wear footwear like this, well, first of all, they'll laugh at me. They say, what kind of colour is that for a man? Well, but people wear anything these days anyway, don't they? But you look at the sole, it's absolutely dreadful. So what has Paul got in mind? Because he's already talking about a shield, he's talking about a helmet. You know, very often when we look at this passage, we actually neglect the footwear. And the footwear is the most important thing that you need when you're a soldier. I've had some plates put in my feet, as many of you know, and I'll tell you what, footwear is really, really important. It's not so good when you're going through the airports and you make all the bleepers go off. But that's another story. So what is Paul thinking of? Well, he's actually thinking of the Roman soldiers' footwear. Now, I've had a word with my dad, and I told him what I needed, and could he make me an illustration? So this is what Paul has got in mind. Now, let's just remind ourselves of this verse. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ready for this? Are you awake?
Yep.
Good, good. You still with me? Ta-da! Now that's what you call footwear. Now, take it for granted. Those are perhaps a few centimetres longer than the Romans would have had, but only a little bit longer. But the point is this, that the Roman soldiers had terrible spikes on their shoes. So when the enemy was coming towards them, they were able to get a grip. They weren't sliding around in the mud and the mire. They were expected to hold their ground. They were equipped to be able to hold their ground. Now, can you imagine the enemy who is now trying to push against soldiers who have this on their feet? They're slipping and sliding all over the place. So that's number one. Number two is, what is the enemy going to think when this is starting to come towards them? Not very nice. And yet Paul says, shod your feet, put these on your feet, the gospel, the preparation of, what was it say here? Let's just remind ourselves before I get it all messed up. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, that doesn't look very peaceful to me, does it? Well, neither does the sword. Neither does a shield. Neither does a helmet. It reminds us that we are standing firm on the day of conflict. You know, I can actually remember what it was like before I was a Christian. I became a Christian in 1985 when I was 18 years of age. And my life, morally, all sorts of ways, was just sliding all over the place. I had no grip in my life until I found Christ. Can you imagine the grip that you can have? I wonder what a Roman soldier felt once he received his equipment and he was trained in his equipment. I think that gave him peace. I have peace in the gospel because I know it works. It changes people's lives. It's changed my life. It gives me a grip in society when society is just, morally speaking, falling apart. Well, what have you got on your feet this morning? What have you got on your feet for this year? This is not namby-pamby warfare that we're thinking about. This isn't a custom cruise. When Paul lists these things, we forget sometimes the gruesomeness of battle and conflict. You know, I've spent some time with people who used to be part of Russian special forces. And some of them were champion boxers. And I'll tell you what, they've got more muscle in their thumb than I have anywhere in my body. Some of them still got some of the guns that they used to have. And they kind of throw the weapon at you. And when one of these guys threw quite a large gun at me a little while ago, I fell back. I was surprised at how heavy it was. You know, I couldn't even bend the gun or whatever they call it to get it primed up to use. And this guy said to me, you've never held a gun before, have you? And I said, I've never seen a gun like this in my life. I haven't even seen one like this in a museum. And he said, you've never been in a war, have you? I said, no. And he said, well, I wouldn't want to be with you in the day of conflict. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we go through conflicts in lives, but we're only standing firm because of the equipment that Christ has given us. And I tell you what, it works. And people around us will see that we've been through conflicts in lives, but we're still standing firm in what we believe. That must give us tremendous peace. I tell you what, I guess that the Roman soldiers must have been absolutely scared stiff as they went into the United Kingdom. Well, you know what the Brits are like, you know, cups of tea and fish and chips and the weather and all that kind of stuff. They must have been absolutely terrified. But I tell you what gave them peace was what they were wearing on their feet. You know, when our British troops went into Iraq, one of the first things that the soldiers did was change their footwear. They weren't happy with what the military had supplied them with, and they went out and bought their own footwear. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, we are fully equipped for the day of conflict. And this is why three times Paul says, stand firm. And then he talks about the conflict that we face. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers, the things that want to influence and cause such terrible wickedness. You think about some of the things that have gone on in our world this last 12 months with the extremes of Islam and other extreme things going on. How do we handle those sorts of things? Well, we're facing a day of conflict and we have the equipment to stand firm. Paul says about powers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. The spiritual wickedness is all about the things that cause moral corruption. And so we stand firm. Why do we stand firm? Because we are equipped to stand firm. God has actually given us everything that we need to cope and not just survive this year, but to have peace this year. Thinking, I don't know what my conflict will be, whether it's health or wealth or stealth, those things that kind of creep up on us. But I know that Ephesians says that God has given me what I need to get through this year. Now, it doesn't mean to say that sometimes you're going to feel pretty scared, because Paul is actually talking about hand-to-hand conflict here in the terminology that he uses. So we are equipped, we are effective to stand firm. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. You know, when I think about the armour of God, I often think about the helmet, I think about the shield, I think about the sword, I think about all the exciting things. The last thing I think about is, what am I going to put on my feet? Well, what are you going to put on your feet? Effective to stand firm. And so Paul encourages us to stand firm, to hold your ground, to hold your post, to hold your position. Why? Because Christ has made us his elite soldiers. James 2 verse 19 says this: you believe that God is one, you do well. The powers of darkness also believe and shudder. And so we are effective, we are encouraged, but now we just need the effort to stand firm, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with all prayer and petition to pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, to be on the alert with all perseverance. As I say, I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to happen in my life or your life this year. I know there will be joys, I know there will be difficulties, but I know the only thing that's going to give us a grip this year is if we hold firm to God's word. Just as Joshua was going into the promised land and Moses and the others reminded him to stand firm on the promises of God's word. And as Paul says in Ephesians, get out of bed, put your armour on, and make sure you've got the right footwear on. I go to some pretty rough places, physically speaking. The roads are absolutely dreadful. In parts of Moldova, the cars actually drive on the pavement, so you've actually got to see it to believe it, because the roads are so bad. So what footwear am I going to be taking? Well, good, sturdy footwear. And so if Paul is saying about the Roman soldiers, helmet and shield and sword and footwear, this gives us a clue of what lies ahead, doesn't it? But it also gives us a clue that he has equipped us to be effective and to encourage us to keep going forward. Well, I hope something of that will stay in your minds this year, that whatever you face, God has given you the equipment and the power to stand firm in your life, and what the things that you are looking forward to this year. I think we've got a song in closing from Tom, Before the Throne of God Above.